Good morning. Please be seated. A very warm welcome to all of you on this beautiful sunny day. My name is Sandra Henderson, and I'm a member of Session. I have a few announcements that are not in your bulletin just to bring to your attention. The first is we have some of the girl guides with us this morning who will be selling cookies downstairs. So if you haven't got your Easter baskets completely full, you know what you can put in them. Sign-up sheets for greeters. We're very short for greeters over the next several weeks, so if you're able to help, that would be great, and the lists are downstairs. And Gordon Fielding wants to make an announcement.
Thanks, Sandra. Well, it's the first day of spring. Well, it's not. It's the first Sunday of spring. But you all have a spring in your step, and I'm sure you're all just waiting to have summer come along. And one of the first signs of summer is the Burlington Leadership Prayer Breakfast, which is the first Thursday in May every year. So this year it is on the 5th of May. Our speaker this year is Lorna Dueck, who some of you know, but if you haven't, Lorna has a regular show on global television, and she also writes in the Globe and Mail. This is our 10th year, and I have the honour of chairing the organising committee again this year. That means I can't find anyone else to take it over from me. But that's okay, because I enjoy doing it. The tickets are on sale, and if you'd like to go, please see Beryl, who's sitting at the back, or myself over the next week or two. You'll see in the bulletin the tickets are $27 per person, but do I have a deal for you? Because Burlington East usually has one table, sometimes two, I'm going to assume we're going to have a full table, and so we will sell the tickets at $25. So don't let me down. Anyway, have a look at it, and we'd love to see you there. It's a marvelous morning. We have upwards of 600 people attend every year, and it's everyone who leaves just feels inspired, uplifted, and they go away feeling really good about being part of the Burlington Christian community. So give it some thought. Thank you. Bruce, you have something to say?
Thank you. Yes, I can say that one of the other really wonderful things about that breakfast is that you're in a room full of 600 Christian people, and it's lovely to be sort of in that critical mass, so to speak, and see that many people who are there and very excited about their faith and sharing in that way. We have today is Palm Sunday. We have lots of palm leaves that have been put together into crosses for us at the end of the service, and I really wanted to thank Janine and Diane. And where's Janine? Up there. And Diane, where are you? Yeah. Jane? Where's Jane? Jane? There she is. Okay. Put that hand up higher, Jane. There we go. And they had a special guest helper this year, Ron. Put your hand up, Ron. So he pitched in. And I was supposed to, but I wasn't feeling well, and Ron filled in for me. So thank you very much. This is a wonderful part of our service this Palm Sunday, and we've got lots in store as we get ready for our service this morning. So let's take a moment now and prepare our hearts for that service.
We'll begin the service with our Palm Sunday reading. It's in your bulletin. Change is coming, for God's plans are unfolding. Even when life seems to be changing direction, God is offering a new way of being. But his message came with a twist. Instead of entering triumphantly on a horse as a victorious king, he came as the one offering peace. Their hope was defined in one way, that a Messiah would come and defeat the Romans and make them victorious. they were unable to change their long upheld assumption, and in the end sent Jesus to his death. Let us pray. O Holy One, come in the name of the Lord. We are humbled, O God, by the magnitude of your plans compared to our own. We recognize that they can be blinded by our expectations, and often we are unwilling to see a different way. May Jesus enter into Jerusalem. Remind us that much more can be going on than we are able to see or comprehend. Make us open to change our ideas and our world, in order that we may embrace your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We will now sing our first hymn of praise, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, number 699.
Please be seated. What Sunday is it today? I said that earlier. What Sunday is today? Palm Sunday. Well, we need some help during Palm Sunday today, so I need to see the hands of everybody who's under the age of 16. Put your hands up. I know there's some cheaters back there. I can see them, but we might get to you yet. Today's Palm Sunday. This is a palm. It's not a palm leaf, but it's a palm. So I want everybody to take a palm. You got two there today, right? Got somebody over here too, didn't we? Did I miss all the 16 and unders? No, yes, I did. Darren, you got... I'll give you one, sir. I saw a hand back here, so I'm going to do that too. Burl gets one too because she put her hand up. And so does John because he put his hand up too. There you go, John. And I got to get some for the choir. I want the choir to have a couple of these too. So I hear people getting warmed up on them. This is good. Get one in the back here. One more in the back. Try it down that way somewhere. And I'll keep one. Now, Palm Sunday, when Jesus came in to the city, people shouted, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. So here's what we're going to do. Anytime today that you hear the word Hosanna, I want everybody to say loud Hosanna. And when we do that, we're going to show our palms and make lots of noise. So let's try without the palms first, to make sure you've got the wording right. If I say the word Hosanna, you say the word loud Hosanna. Ready? Hosanna!
Hosanna.
Yeah, Jesus might have been impressed with that. It's hard to say. Let's try it one more time. Hosanna!
Hosanna.
All right, we're going to do it one more time with the palms this time. Hosanna!
Hosanna.
Now, don't stop with the palms. I want to hear that for a while. That's it. Very good. Yeah. Now, you've got to listen carefully, because at any point in time, you might hear or even see. All right, keep on your toes, guys, because you never know when you might see or hear. That's good. Very good. You're getting there. And as we, in that joyful sense, now we come before the Lord with our prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers of confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was baptized, as we've been baptized. That cleansing water allows us to say, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. We praise you, God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. Lord, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph, and the people proclaimed, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
He was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches all along his way. As we carry these branches today, Lord, and we have our palms ready to go and shout Hosanna,
Hosanna.
Lord, may we follow you in the way of the cross, that in dying and rising with you, Lord, we may enter into your kingdom through Christ, who lives and reigns with you, God, the Holy Spirit, now and forever. And Lord, we come before you now with some thoughts on this relationship we have with you. Lord, we acknowledge that there have been times that we have failed maybe to respond earnestly and faithfully to the witness that Christ gives us, that grace and his love. We often mistake Jesus simply just for as an earthly king or a wise person or a friendly companion or a problem solver. We fail to see him as the ruler of creation sent here to save us. And that word save us meaning Hosanna. Or there are times when we don't necessarily always appreciate the depth of his passion and the sacrifice on the cross, failing to acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, as our way of salvation. So, Lord, in this Lenten season, we may not have always walked faithfully in the way of Jesus, so we ask that you will forgive us and that we can shout loudly, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Lord, we come before you now and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is the Lord who helps us, who will declare us guilty? No one, because the grace which we've received in this baptism, pouring of this water, the cleansing of these streams, we have nothing to fear. We are forgiven, we are freed, we can shout, Hosanna. Thank you, choir. Thank you so much for that message of the cross. We're going to join together in our children's hymn this morning, and it's a different one that's printed in your bulletins, and I'm going to find my notes here. It's here. It's 218, and I'm going to say the title, and you can respond to the title. The title of this hymn, 218, is Hosanna. Wow, exactly. So, you have permission every time we say the word Hosanna in this song to make some noise. Let's join together in number 218, Hosanna. Very good. Please be seated. We'll have the children come forward for a time together this morning. I'll have you sit up here on the steps. Up here. You can sit over here. It's fine. It's upside down. I know. You got to pay attention. Boys and girls, today's Palm Sunday. And although these are hands, and in what this part of your hand is called a palm, there's a plant that's called a palm. And I guess it's kind of named that way because it looks like it has fingers. And I have a picture or two here to show you, first of all, of what the kind of tree the palm tree is. There's what a palm tree looks like. So the leaves that we have for this have come from a tree like that. There you go, folks. And these trees, and there's all kinds of different palm trees. This one can grow as tall as where the fan is. So it's a pretty big tree. And up on top are these long branches. And the branches, I've got a smaller version of that. The branches look like this, and they hang under the tree like that. Now, each one of these lines is one of these. So you can see maybe how big that tree is. If it had all those hanging down, it would be maybe as long as me, and all that hanging down like that. When Jesus came into Jerusalem the first time, as the prince, people took palm leaves like these, or more like these, and they put them on the ground. And I have a few more to show us that. They put a few more on the ground where Jesus was going to ride the donkey that he came in on. They put them all over the ground like this, spread the, all they make a path for him. In fact, one or two people took their coats off and they put them on the ground too, where Jesus was going to walk. Do you know why they did that? Any ideas why they might want to do that? I'll tell you, I'll give you a secret. If you go out in the country and the roads in the country, they don't have paving on them like our roads. It's just covered in dirt. Yeah? It's just all dirt and sand. So when you walk on here, you would get your feet all covered in sand and dirt and maybe make a big cloud and nobody could see. But walking like this, everybody knew that Jesus' feet would be clean, they could see him, and this was a way for a royal person to come in into the city. And that's what they did for Jesus. And that's why we have palm leaves and why you have palm noisemakers. So that when I say the word Hosanna, you can say loud, Hosanna. Very good. Boys and girls, let's have a prayer and we'll thank Jesus for coming in to say Hosanna to us. Very good. You can repeat after me, okay? Dear Jesus, we thank you for this Sunday, Palm Sunday. You are the Prince of Peace. And we can say Hosanna. Loud Hosanna. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. You can go off to Sunday school. We'll see you later on. And thank you. And we'll sing the remainder of our hymn seated. And don't forget, if you hear that word, you know what to do. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing. For Christ, thou in glory, Lord of heaven, our King. Oh, may we ever praise Him, Father, and Lord, and give God's joyful praise. Hosanna. As we prepare to hear God's word read to us this morning, let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will move on our hearts this morning. Help us to experience this joy of the entrance of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And really, Lord, that journey into each of our lives. Speak to us through these scriptures, Lord, and open our hearts and eyes, spiritually speaking, to see and hear that which you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 31, verses 9 to 16. Psalm 31 is another lament psalm. It has all the sections that are needed. We're reading the middle portion, but verses 1 to 8 would be a way that the lament is formatted to introduce the problem to God. And then verses 9 to 13, which is roughly where we're reading, is the complaint to God. And then the last section is a confession of trust that I know you're going to answer this problem, Lord. And if you do, I've got a making a promise to praise you is how the psalm finishes. And all lament psalms are formatted that way as we read them. So let's read Psalm 31 beginning at verse 9. Sandra, there's a piece of paper beside you. Thank you.
So Psalm 31, beginning at verse 9. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes waste away from grief. My soul and body also. I am the scorn of all of my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances, for those who see me in the street flee from me. I trust in you, O Lord. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and my persecutors.
Thank you. A responsive reading, the Old Testament reading this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 50, that's on page 681 in your pew Bibles, in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. This is a third in a series of poems in Isaiah, Suffering, and this is sometimes called the Songs of Suffering. And it really inspires a feeling that we can, as we'll be talking about later on, sometimes choices we make don't always work out and we feel abandoned and alone. This this is a psalm, or a song rather, that is speaking out from the heart towards God in that light. Isaiah 50, beginning at verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Our New Testament reading is found in Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 5. That's on page 197 in your pew Bibles. Philippians 2, as long impressed readers, is a very remarkable piece because of its lyrical quality. And some think that it could possibly have been an early Christian hymn that was adapted by Paul into this section. And it's often, this reading is often called the Christ hymn. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born into human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our gospel reading I have altered this morning from John to the Gospel of Matthew, and it's the story of Jesus' triumphant entrance into the city. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1. I don't have a page reference, but I think you can get there. Matthew chapter 21. This is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and it's the crowds gathering and yelling that Jesus is the Messiah. They in fact use that word again, Hosanna. They call him a prophet. They have lots of expectations from this Messiah that's coming in on this carpeted pathway for them. And Matthew does a great job in telling us all about this. We know how this ends up, but we need to be in the moment just now. This is a joyful entry of the new Messiah that's come. They've brought him in here as a prince or a king with this. As we read in the scriptures, he's not always coming in as the king, because he didn't necessarily ride in on a horse, but he did ride on a donkey. He came in humbler fashion, just as he entered this world originally. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage and at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of God. Hosanna." Let's join together now in our next hymn, number 225, A New Commandment. We'll sing this through a couple of times, yes? Yes, we will. Bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. Pleasing in your sight, Lord, you are my rock, my redeemer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and it's what's known actually in many ways as the first day of Holy Week leading up to Easter. And in that sense, Christmas, we have Advent, and then Christmas week, there's just, you know, the night before Christmas and Christmas Day. But during Lent, we have 40 days leading up to this week, basically, and then we spend the entire week celebrating this event that takes place. And just looking at the time frame that's allotted, Lent and Easter by far get more air time, so to speak. And it's probably the most important event in our Christian calendar. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I did read just recently, actually, and I'm going to say the 16th century, sometime in the 1500s, the Scottish Presbyterians banned Christmas completely. It's because people were spending too much time focused on Christmas and thought that was important, and all the parties that were going on and completely forgot Easter. So their solution was, you're not going to have that, you'll have that. So, and for a while, it was very strict because they wanted this Easter week, this time of Lent, to be the central focus of our calendar and in our lives. And it's difficult in the day and age we live. We can see where Christmas has kind of taken over in so many ways. This is the holiday for us. This is high holiday time for us, high holy time, high holy days for us as Christian believers, because it's this week, and particularly next weekend, that makes all the difference of who we are. It was Palm Sunday a few years ago, but there was a sore throat. Little Johnny, he had that sore throat, and he had to stay home from church with a sitter. The family came home from church, and they were carrying palm fronds, much like we have here for us today. Johnny asked them, what were they for? And they said, people held them over the head of Jesus as he walked by, his father told him. Well, wouldn't you know it, Johnny fumed, the first Sunday I don't go and he shows up. Well, we're celebrating Christ coming into our midst today in that wonderful way. We live our lives often full of choices and end up living sometimes in extremes. At one moment we can be laughing, and the next it very often can be that we're feeling alone and desperate. Maybe there's the results of choices that we've made or other that happen in our lives. Either extreme, it seems to be at the base of the outcome that we face ourselves with, good or bad. I think that our psalm today expresses that very effectively, that where are you, God? What's gone on? Maybe the results of a choice that we've made causes these extremes to seem really out of whack, whether they're good or bad. And with that in mind, this is the idea of our theme that we've been dealing with through all of Lent, the crucified king, and today's sermon title being the king chooses. We all are faced with choices all through our lives, lots of choices. Jesus was faced with some very important choices, in particularly this week that we celebrate. Now, when I say this week, I don't mean that on March the whatever, Jesus showed up at Jerusalem. We're celebrating the events that took place over the period of that week. And that's the other thing that gets confused with Christmas. Often people think, well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Who cares? The point is we're celebrating his birth. Whether this happened specifically on this date in our calendar, it was during Passover, whatever date that would have been, but we're thinking of the timelines here. Sunday to Sunday, basically, is what we're talking about. And the choices that Jesus and others made during that time. Jesus' triumphal entry from John says, when the great crowd of Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. And there's that Lazarus guy showing up again. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Yeah, good, you're in there. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, and it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done for him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they had heard he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. Now, it's interesting, just sidebar comment a little bit here, when we read this account from the Gospel of John, it differs a little bit from Matthew, but one of the points that John makes very clearly several times over, he mentions Lazarus being at the meal with Mary. He mentions Lazarus here in the triumphal entrance to Jerusalem. It didn't just, Lazarus' story being raised from the dead wasn't just a one out. Lazarus went around telling everybody, and the people that were there that day went around telling everybody, he raised this guy from the dead. And it really does bring that story kind of bigger, because it should have been a big deal. Somebody got raised from the dead. And he was like, he was buried and done, and he got up. And it disturbed a lot of people, as well as it excited a lot of people. So again, sidebar comment there. But Lazarus is part of this story very much still. Anyway, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And what a difference a few days and a few choices on the part of the people of the city of Jerusalem, the disciples, and Jesus himself makes in this story of Jesus. And choices such as this can certainly affect our lives. One day is full of praise and singing and palm leaves and glory. And a couple of days later, it seems, or a few choices later, suffering and pain, and in Jesus' case, death. Don't some of our days seem to be stressed out in similar ways? One day we're praised, one day things are going great, a few days later, a few choices or decisions later, we're despised and things are just gone wrong. We can easily go from one extreme to the next and seem what can seem to be a heartbeat. We use the word sometimes in these extremes when things that we've chosen to do don't work out as well. We use the word regret. And a friend of mine, maybe 25 years ago now, came to me and said, do you have any regrets in your life? And I answered, no, and I'll explain that. And he was surprised. He wasn't looking at maybe things that we should have said that we shouldn't have said. There's lots of things I've said that I shouldn't have said. I don't know if I put those in the area of regret in the context of what my friend was asking me. My friend was asking because I know where his life had gone. He'd made some decisions. He ended up in a bad relationship. He ended up out of work, all these things. And he's looking back going, well, if I'd only stayed here, if I'd only done, things would have been better. And I said to him at the time, and I say to you today, pick an event that you would put in that category. What would you really change that would really have made a difference to who you are today? Who you are today. Now, it's difficult sometimes when we think about who we are today, possibly, because choices that we've made, maybe families aren't working out so well, or maybe I'm not so happy with my personality, but the reality is, God loves you who you are today. And we have to believe that as we trust God in our lives, God is directing us and protecting us and leading us. That makes us who we are today, good, bad, or otherwise. God still loves us. Dawn and I watched a movie yesterday that we've heard about, Mom's Night Out. Lovely, it's a Christian film and has a great message to it. There's a lot of good acting and whatnot in it. But I think that one of the messages that comes out more towards the end of that film is essentially because this one character in the film is feeling like she just can't do enough. She's failing her family. She's just not the good enough mom that she wants to be. She's not the good enough wife and friend that she wants to be. And at the one point towards the end, someone says, you know, God loves you as you are. You're not based on the choices you've made or not made. God doesn't love you because of the regrets you have in your life or don't have in your life. God just loves you as you are. And we have to believe that the path that we have walked up to today, this very moment, this morning, each of us has walked, and each one of us has a great story. One of the things that I love when I'm visiting folks, one of the things I love when I'm meeting new people, if I'm at the hospital for any reason, is to hear the stories, because everybody's got one. And it's great. Everybody has their path that they've walked to get to here this morning. And if everybody thought about it just for a moment, let's go back in time to when you woke up today and go through your timeline in your mind to when you're sitting here right now. There's 100 people plus here. We've got 100 different stories. We've got 100 different ways that we've come here today. And those ways, God has guided you. God has been a part of that. And it's hard when we think of some of the choices that we may have made in the midst of getting here this morning. Maybe I yelled at somebody today, you know, or maybe my kids weren't cooperating and I kind of did one of these to get out the door, you know. Well, the behavior maybe we can change. But it's all made us who we are. And no matter who that is in your mind, God loves it. God loves you as you are. And Jesus had to make some very tough choices in the week leading up to Easter week. And because the church has been around for so long and we've all been coming to church for so long, we already know the story of the cross. It's empty. We know how that ends. But this day, if we put ourselves into this moment, we don't know that ending yet. We have a hint if we tell the whole story through the week, and that's what we'll be doing this week. On Thursday night at our service, on Friday morning at our service, and next Sunday at our service, we'll be completing this story. Jesus rode in triumphantly. The people were cheering. Jesus had to make a choice, which we read about in Gethsemane, in those stories when he was praying. He struggled with these choices himself. He struggled almost in a way with who he was. Just like we can struggle with who we are sometimes because of choices that we've made in our lives. God loved him and had a plan for him and us at the same time. And Jesus chose this path to come in triumphantly and to go out less triumphantly in the end, but to come back. Today is Palm Sunday, glorious times, and it's, like I say, the beginning of our Holy Week where we hear and we read about the passion of Christ, and what that means is the suffering of Christ in fancy terms. This week starts off with songs and praise and hosannas. And then after a bunch of people make some choices, it winds up on Good Friday with sadness and death. But we can hang on to something because we do know the rest of the story. Easter's coming. That's a spoiler in case you didn't know that. Just, you know, that Jesus does rise from the dead. I just like to point that out because you never know. There could be somebody in the crowd who doesn't know the end of that story. You never know. It's a good story because it's a story that doesn't end in sadness and death, despite the choices that were made by people in this story leading up to this. It ends with victory and glory for all. It just doesn't end at a sorrowful point. It ends with victory and glory for all, even though some decisions were clearly made trying to make the outcome a different way. Our lives often can be full of distress and stress and pressure, especially when we face a lot of difficult decisions and choices that we have to make. Things can suddenly not be going so well. A term that came into my mind this week, and these things that come up during the week often, I really do believe it's leading of God's Spirit. The term long game came into my mind this week in some conversations I was having with different people. Versus as opposed to the short game. Now, I am not a sports person. Look at me. I don't, unless sumo wrestling was part of my career, this is not the sports guy that I... So sports analogies I rarely give. But the idea of the long game versus the short game, we can lose a bit of ground in the short game because in the long run, we know what's coming. Today, we can lose some ground because we know that next Sunday's got something in the long game ready for us. We can take that same principle in the choices that we make. Instead of dwelling on and regretting choices that we've made in the shorter game, we know that in the long game, the choice that Jesus has made brought him to the resurrection. And that's the word I wanted to get into here. The resurrection. What does the resurrection represent for us? A choice that Jesus made to die. A choice that Jesus made to resurrect, because resurrection is not just coming back from the dead. Lazarus did that. Okay. He caused some trouble when he came back, and people talked about it. But Jesus didn't just come back from the dead in that resurrection. He conquered death. And I'm digressing slightly here, but I want to for a reason. more or less what we were talking a little bit about last week. Jesus rose from the dead to conquer death. There is one thing in this world that's true. It's a hard thing to hear, but at the end of our life, there's an end. It is. There's an end. It's the big D word, which I'm not even going to say out loud, because it's a hard word for us to always say. But there's an ending. But Jesus changed that in his resurrection. And that's the hope that we have as Christians. There is more beyond the end of my life. Jesus made that possible. That resurrected Lord conquered death, because that was the penalty of sin. He conquered that for each of us. He made a choice for us. And it's a great choice. Easter Sunday's coming, but today we shout, Hosanna. Yeah, we do. Amen. So, here's something for today. It's Palm Sunday's glorious time. We can reflect on the majesty of our Lord as we remember that triumphant entry. Everybody shouting, Hosanna. He's our King. He's our Messiah. It's the beginning of Holy Week, the last final week of Lent. And we're here to reflect on the suffering as the week goes on, as Jesus is betrayed and arrested and beaten and finally killed on that machine of torture, the cross. But during this Easter week, we are witnessing Jesus' best and worst moments, the best choices that he could make ultimately in his life for our lives. And we may have had good times in the past, we may have had not so great times in the past, but Jesus has enjoyed all of those extremes on our behalf. Our scriptures, the Word of God, speaks of those times too as a form of encouragement for all of us. One thing that we should be doing this week in particular, and I'd like you to do, read that part of the gospel message of this week. It's in all four gospels, and every gospel tells it a little differently. See if you can find the differences. See if you can identify the choices being made by Jesus and other people surrounding his life. And see how all those choices put the puzzle pieces together. And we have the glorious time of the resurrected Lord on Easter Sunday. Jesus is King. He chose that path set out before him with joy, as we're told in Hebrews. Jesus the King chooses us for all our good, all our bad, and hard times. Hosanna. Amen. God has given us his only child, Jesus, the way of our salvation. It is our time now to give generously as God has blessed and given to us for God's work. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us all the time, Lord. We thank you for the choices that you confront us with and choices that we can make. We thank you for the choices that Jesus has made. Jesus is called to bring the gospel, that love, that grace into this world through us. And Lord, we ask you to bless this, our offering, that it can continue to do your work in a world of need. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hosanna!
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated, sorry. I feel like I'm in a military when I do that. I'll just stand there until I give the command. I was in Air Cadets when I was a kid, and I went to Trenton for leadership training and was put in charge of a small group of guys because I had the loudest voice mostly. I was very thin, but I'm tall, but I had this big, loud voice and my dad's police boots on, so I guess I carried some command. I was doing some drill training on a parade square in front of the headquarters at Trenton, and at one point mid-morning, we were doing our drills, just my group, and an officer came out of the building and asked me to, "Shh, you're disturbing everybody in the building." So, anyway, I remember letting them stand there at one point while I was talking, and they just, you know, you gotta tell them to turn or they'll just keep marching off the parade square. Anyway, another story. Sorry. We have lots of folks in need in our congregation, and we all have those names. I know that Shirley and Janet are still mending from their surgery, and we keep them in prayer. And we want to be praying for Alex Chisholm. I will confirm this, but we've heard that he may have passed away this week. And Alex is someone most of you may not know, but he was a longtime member here, and he's been living at Billings Court. And the last time I saw him, which was about a week ago, he was very frail, and I didn't expect that he would be here much longer. So I'll confirm that and let everybody know through some emails, through session and whatnot. But we do hold him in prayer, even if he's is with us still, certainly for his health, but if he has passed, we want to be praying for his family. This has got to be a difficult time. So, gracious God has brought us into this holy week. We have lots of things to celebrate, lots of things to talk about, and we do that now as we bow our heads in prayer. God in the highest, you came to us as a human being who humbled himself not as a way below a king and way below a prince. You are the stone that the builders has rejected. You've become that cornerstone in this world and in our lives. And so, Lord, we come before you with our prayers of the needs around the world, needs in our community and needs in our own families. Lord, we pray that you can bring peace in our world. This is what the people were asking for when you came, that Hosanna is the Hosanna. Lord, that word means save us. It means it's a cry for help. It's also a declaration that you will save us. And so, Lord, we pray for peace to save this world that you've created. We pray for peace that your word can be spread and be at the heart of all the things that are taking place around our world. Lord, we pray for the people who get caught in the middle of these large national conflicts that we see around our world. We pray for the people involved, Lord, that you can help them to bring about that peace. But as they battle and struggle for their way and their only way in some cases, the people in the middle get caught. There's people all through Eastern Europe, Lord, and in the Middle East who are in that boat very, very much so. But as we look at each continent around our world, there's conflicts of some kind going on. Lord, I know that there's been discussion this week about creating places where people can get needles to do injections if they're addicts. More people caught in the middle, Lord. People who are greedy and trying to make money by selling drugs to people who are obviously in need in their lives and have physical difficulties and are being just really, really put upon. We pray for that part of our community, Lord. It's all through our community. But Lord, we also come before you this morning. We pray for those in our midst this morning who are ill, who are alone, who are struggling in whatever way that may be, with grief, with illness, with mental issues as well. Lord, we thank you that Shirley and Janet have gone through their surgery well, but we pray for their continued recovery. We pray for Alex Chisholm's family and whatever the circumstance they're facing at the moment, it's got to be difficult. because Alex was getting weaker. We know that, Lord. So we pray for them. Lord, we pray for a special person in each of our lives. We have that person in our mind. And Lord, in silence right now, we say that name to you. We thank you, Lord, that you hear these names. Lord, we pray for one other person, Evan, whose name was given to us this morning. Be with him and his situation. Give him the peace that he needs and the strength that he needs as well. Mold us into a people who can show your mercy. Mold us into a people, Lord, who can know the choices that are before us and always come to you for an answer. Help us to continue to be obedient to Jesus. Help us always to look to him as the author and finisher of our faith. Because it's in his name, Lord, now that we offer these prayers. Amen. Hosanna. Let's sing our closing hymn this morning, number 574, with "The Lord is My Guide." The boys and girls are back. You going to make some noise? Yeah, they're thinking about it. All right, good. Very good. We go in peace this day knowing that Christ has made some marvelous choices in his life and truly in ours. It's a promise that we have to be with him now and forever. And so may we know the love of Christ, the mercy of the Father, and the Spirit, the fire of the Spirit as we go, and we go with one God who is Lord and Lord of all. Amen. Can you guys carry that basket down to the back? Can you carry that? Yeah, she'll help you. Yeah.